In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to America's longest-running radio food show, the KSRO Good Food Hour, from beautiful wine country, California, Santa Rosa, California. I don't know of many people that can not get into an argument about recommending certain foods. Number one, chocolate chip cookies. Where do you get the best chocolate chip cookies? Boy, that's guaranteed to cause an argument. And second of all, in the world of baked goods, I think possibly recommending your favorite place to get a bagel incites people to have very firm and strongly opinionated thoughts. Sam Silverman is one of those people that has some strong thoughts about it. He's the founder of Bagel Fest East in New York, and now has brought this to the West Coast for Bagel Fest West. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
I am doing very well. So you are a tried and true born and bred New Yorker, correct?
No, that is not true.
All right.
I've been there for about a dozen years, and I've thrown myself wholeheartedly into the bagel scene more intensely than anyone you've ever met.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up outside of Worcester, Massachusetts, eating Dunkin' Donuts and Panera and bagels from the grocery store. So when I arrived in New York a dozen years ago and I had my first real bagel, it changed my life.
Okay, so Boston is not known for great bagels at this point?
No, still not.
Whoa. Well, I hope no one is a transplanted Bostoner listening to this morning. So you got into the world of bagels, became completely immersed in that world, and decided to bring something that I don't think has ever been done on a mass scale to New York, and that's Bagel Fest East. How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, as a bagel lover, I was traveling to my favorite shops, and at the same time, I was going to all these food festivals in New York City. There's a pickle festival, a hot sauce festival, a coffee festival, and I just looked up tickets to the next bagel festival and was shocked when I discovered not only was there no event coming up, but it, in fact, had never existed in the history of New York City. And at the time, I was simply a bagel connoisseur. I had no professional connection to the industry, but this was an event I wanted to exist. And in 2019, we threw our very first Bagel Fest for a couple hundred bagel enthusiasts in Brooklyn. And over the years, it's just grown and grown and grown. And I'm now a full-time bagel eater and promoter, and I've tasted some of the best from all over the world.
So a food passion has led into a career.
Yes, it has in this instance, much to my parents' chagrin. Here we are.
Well, they'd hoped, I'm sure, you went to law school or medical school, but instead you're fronting bagel festivals around the country. That's okay. And when did the idea begin to bring this west?
This has been a conversation for 3 years. I mean, I don't know, Steve, if you remember the 2021 article from the New York Times titled The Best Bagels Are in California.
I have it in front of me.
Okay, you do. So that got my spidey senses tingling, and I decided to investigate what was going on at the West Coast. And what I found was that the New York Times, while the title of the article was a little bit clickbaity, fake news, inflammatory, the substance of it was true. And that is that there are some great artisan bagel makers out on the West Coast. And so over the years, we've been scouting and developing a network, all with the aims of bringing together this weekend's first ever Bagel Fest West.
I bet during our 25-minute conversation, another bagel shop will open in the LA in the LA area. The article you're referencing from the New York Times is "The Best Bagels Are in California," parenthesis, "Sorry, New York." I mean, that's inflammatory. That's a slap in the face.
It was indeed. It caused a lot of outrage. And, you know, I still do believe that New York bagels are, on the whole, the best, but what we're seeing are people who are dedicating their careers to making, you know, not just a New York style, but blazing their own path and creating new styles, new flavors, new innovations. And it's just a super exciting time for the industry.
Well, since 2021, you can imagine the massive number of new shops that have opened both in the LA and the Bay Area. Let's face it, we're no slouches to bagels anymore.
Absolutely not. There's tons of exciting stuff. I mean, I found that a lot of folks during the pandemic had some time on their hands, and mm-hmm. some of them started to bake, and a few of those folks started to bake bagels, and some of those people realized, hey, I don't have to go back to what I was doing before, and they've kept the ball rolling, so to speak, and so we've seen this bagel boom in the past 5 years, in large part thanks to, you know, this kind of catastrophic event that had us all at home, but a silver lining to come out of it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I have a close friend who's a transplanted Long Islander, and she still insists that she's never had a West Coast bagel that can equal her growing up style bagels in New York. I'm trying to wear her down that there are some really great bagels. She needs to just expand her reach and set aside her prejudice.
It's difficult to overcome nostalgia. There's never going to be a bagel the same, or any food is the same as, you know, your grandma's cooking when you were growing up, right?
Yeah.
So very much the case here. But I challenge her to go out and explore. I mean, the Bay Area, from Boy Chick to Schlock's and Laundromat, I mean, there are some really high-quality stuff that are readily available if you're willing to go look for it.
And I want to give you a shout-out. I know you're dialed into the whole bagel world, but you probably saw the article last year in August of 2025 that our local San Francisco Chronicle did, rating the 20 best bagels in the Bay Area. Did you see that article?
I believe it came across my desk.
Yeah. Well, number one, I must say, to the shocking chagrin of a lot of major players in Berkeley and San Francisco and otherwise, was a local wine country bagel company out of Napa called Lubsky's. Are you familiar with Lubsky's?
I'm not. I have to admit.
Well, I'm gonna challenge you to somehow get a hold of some Lubsky Deli bagels. They're in Napa. Christopher Costo, who's a great local chef, part of Meadowood and others, his wife and he created this great deli. And I've been there a few times. They've recently opened a branch in Marin County, which is south of here, north of San Francisco, in the Country Mart. And they're knocking it out of the park in Larkspur. And Chronicle said this was the best bagel in the Bay Area.
Incredible. Well, if anyone wants to put me in touch with them,
okay,
I'm Bagel Ambassador on all platforms.
So tell us how the Bagel Fest is going to unfold tomorrow.
Sure. So we've selected 15 of the best bagel makers west of the Rockies. So we have a bunch of Southern California shops represented all the way down to San Diego. We've got Hey Bagel flying in from Seattle. We've got Bella's Bagels flying in from Colorado Springs. And each of the 15 bagel shops is going to be sampling up to 3 signature bites. So as an attendee, you walk around, you're tasting everything, and then you're ultimately voting for your top 3 favorites to determine our people's champion. Now, this award is worth a lot more than just pride. It has gone on to change the trajectories of the businesses and business owners that have won this in years past. Pop-Up Bagels, for example, who just last night announced a new fundraise that values them at $300 million, were a 2-time Best Bagel winner in 2021 and 2022. And that's helped put them into the national conversation. Starship Bagel from Dallas, Texas, is a James Beard nominee and finalist after winning this award. So it really is an extremely meaningful thing that the bagel makers put a lot of time, effort, and resources into. And as an attendee, you get to participate in it, taste everything, vote for your favorites, and we have a bunch of other fun programming going on as well.
And there's things for kids, I noticed, you factored in too.
Of course. This is an incredibly family-friendly affair. We have a dedicated kids area. We have Ariana Brooks. She's a children's book author who's written a number of several entertaining, like My Mushy Matzo Ball. She's going to be due reading. We have Color Your Own Apron. We've got a rainbow bagel factory for them. So we have a little bit for everybody, whether you're a family looking for a good time or an industry professional, someone who works in the bagel world, the food world, that's looking to network, connect, and learn from some of the top leaders. There are industry panels happening throughout the day where you can hear the insights and wisdom of folks that have made it to the other side and are happy to share their knowledge and wisdom.
I was really impressed with the seminars. You have a professional seminars taking place in the morning, The Key to the Perfect Bagel, Nailing Your Ingredients to Create the Perfect Bagel, and then decisions on production and promotion and all that. And then in the afternoon, it's for the general public, for the general admission, What is a California Bagel? I would love to hear the thoughts during that seminar.
Well, we are going to record it, and we'll post it online afterwards so that if you can't make it at the event, you will hear the insights from some of, Diane Worthington, she's the moderator of the panel. Mm-hmm. She really defined what is modern California cooking in general. And so we could not have a more perfect person to be leading this conversation to help define what is frankly, a wild west, so to speak, in the bagel world. We've got sourdough bagels, stuffed bagels, New York adjacent, double fermented, yeasted sourdough hybrids. It's really crazy, all of the different techniques and tactics that people are employing to help stand out in an increasingly crowded market.
Okay, before we take a very quick break, I've got to lob you a hardball question here, Sam.
Okay,
here it is. Is there, or do you anticipate there being a gluten-free category?
There is a gluten-free bagel that will be there. The company is Original Sunshine. They make the best gluten-free bagels that I've ever had. And so anyone that is gluten-free will be able to participate and enjoy everything at the festival by using the Original Sunshine to go along with all the toppings that are available from the other vendors.
Fantastic. It's not rare that I wish I were in L.A., but today... No. We're lucky to live where we are here in the northern San Francisco Bay Area in the wine country. But today, I'd love to be able to swing by and enjoy that. Is there any thoughts or discussion about bringing maybe Bagel Fest to Northern California?
We'll never say never. This event is completely sold out as of yesterday, so there's clearly some strong interest down here. And let's see how this weekend goes, and we'll keep on rolling.
All right, more Bagel Talk with Sam Silverman, the founder of Bagel Fest East and now Bagel Fest West in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Garner. It's the Chaos Ordo Good Food Hour.
Bedrosian's Tile and Stone is offering a special promotion. Right now, you can save 40% on select in-stock slabs. Visit Bedrosian's designer showroom in Santa Rosa to explore their wide range of slabs, including luxurious quartzite, durable granite, exquisite marble, stunning quartz, and amazing porcelain. This offer is available while supplies last, so hurry in to take advantage of the 40% discount on select in-stock slabs. Bedrosian's offers the largest selection of imported slabs and the most diverse collection of tile in the North Bay, as well as engineered wood and vinyl. And Bedrosian's certified showroom specialists will help you bring your dream space to life. An elegant new kitchen, bath, fireplace, or engineered floor from Bedrosian's can make a significant difference to your space. Remember, the 40% discount on select in-stock slabs is only available while supplies last. Visit Bedrosian's Tile and Stone at 700 Stony Point Road to explore their unbelievable showroom and take advantage of this special promotion today.
Did you know Sebastopol Hardware has a huge pet center, including live fish, tanks, and accessories? How's your bearded dragon? What about your snake, gecko, or turtle? Reptile and amphibian diets are so important. The Sebastopol Hardware Pet Center carries heat lamps, water dishes, and dietary supplements. For feathered friends, specialized seed blends and a great selection of toys, medicated and non-medicated chicken feed too, plus a full range of food, treats, toys, beds, and care supplies for your cats and dogs. Essentials for your small critters too. Shop local and save on Super Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month, with store-wide savings from pet supplies to hardware and garden. You'll get 20% off almost everything. Seniors 60 plus also save 20% on Senior Wednesday, the first Wednesday of each month, unless the store is closed for a holiday. Sebastopol Hardware, celebrating 60 years of serving Sonoma County and proudly supporting the Sonoma County Humane Society and Compassion Without Borders. Visit online at sebastopolhardware.com.
The best way to fight mosquitoes is to stop them before they start. Mosquitoes develop through four stages: egg, larva, pupa, and adult, and can complete their entire life cycle in as little as 5 to 7 days. Prevention is key. Empty flower pots, bird baths, and clogged gutters at least once a week. Eliminating standing water breaks the cycle and protects your family before mosquitoes ever have a chance to bite. For more information, contact the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District or visit msmosquito.org.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, and we're talking to a guiding light in the world of bagels. How about that? Sam Silverman, who founded the Bagel Fest East in New York City the past several years has brought this to the Los Angeles area this weekend, especially tomorrow with a public tasting and all kinds of seminars for professionals. And Sam, I just received something from my Food and Wine magazine feed, and here's the headline. This was yesterday. Chicago's the next big bagel city, complete with jardiniera cream cheese. Did you see that article?
I did not see the article, but I did visit Chicago last summer, and I was, again, similarly impressed by the rising bagel scene that's happening all over the country.
Yeah, and it says here the new generation of bakers in Chicago is using tried and true techniques for snappy, chewy bagels with new, unique toppings you have to try. So maybe as you conquer the continent, moving from east to west, you might want to pause and think about Chicago for another bagel fest. You know?
100%. The people of Chicago would be a very fun crowd for this sort of event. I can guarantee you that.
So are all bagels, they have to have a hole to qualify as a bagel, or are we seeing holeless bagels?
You have to have a hole to be a bagel, but just because you have a hole does not make you a bagel. The real key to the bagel, it's got to be boiled before it's baked, giving you that crunchy outside, the soft, chewy interior, and the beautiful textural contrast so that when you bite into it, you get that incredibly unique bagel taste and texture. But yeah, the hole is you know where you start, but it goes a lot further than that.
And the shine, that's pretty important too, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. The appearance and the flavor of the crust is instrumental. I think Boychik, who is representing the Bay Area at Bagel Fest tomorrow, does a great job with that, particularly at scale. You know, the more bagels you make, the harder it is to do it extremely well. But with their 18,000 square foot factory in Berkeley, I believe they've really cracked the code on how to make a great New York style bagel.
Yeah, you're right. Scaling up is always difficult. And now she has, I think, 11 or 12 locations around the Bay Area.
And a couple in Los Angeles as well.
And a couple in LA too.
West Coast domination on its way.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. So I'm not sure if this is common now, but are bagel makers adding some honey now to the bagels when they boil?
There's tons of things that they'll add. Honey, barley malt syrup, baking soda, even lye. So there's tons of little decisions that these artisans can make to kind of tweak their recipe and stand out from the rest of the crowd. And those additives can go not only in the water that it gets boiled in, but the water that the dough is made with itself. So tons of variation. Now, Steve, I want to get ahead of a question I know you are going to ask. Is it really the water? Right? Have you heard this?
I was going to ask it, but I know it's been debunked numerous times. People go, oh, well, the mineral content, the magnesium content of New York water cannot be duplicated anywhere in the country. And I say that's a bunch of hokum.
My professional opinion is that I agree with you. It is not the water. It's really, at the end of the day, the people and the talent. And it's a commitment to doing things the right way without taking shortcuts. Because bagels, while they're a simple bread, it's a very long process to make a good one. The minimum time required is 2 days. Mm-hmm. It can last up to 4 or 5 days with some recipes. And so there's lots of opportunities to kind of skip steps and do things a little bit easier. But this new generation of bakers is doing things the right way. And that is so much more important than the magnesium concentrate in the water that you're using.
Well, there's many of us that have gone through life never having a calling, Sam, and you clearly have a calling. You've been called to lead the charge for bagel awareness and appreciation all across the country of ours. So congratulations on fronting Bagel Fest West in Los Angeles this weekend, and we're hoping you'll consider coming up to the Bay Area for a future Bagel Fest.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's fun to be an ambassador for this food that I love so much and so many people are so passionate about. And Steve, I hope to see you and break bread with you sometime soon.
A pleasure, Sam. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Take care.
Back after this with a terrific new cookbook author who really knows how to teach home cooks how to create great food. I'm Steve Garner in the KSRO Kitchen.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
Hi, I'm Rachel, ultrasound technologist for Sonoma Vein. I see patients with leg symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, restless legs, itchiness, or pain. The most common thing patients say is they didn't know their symptoms could be treated and covered by their insurance plan. We pride ourselves on making patient visits convenient and educating them on what the procedures entail. Patients initially have an ultrasound, then consult with the doctor who reviews results and develops a customized treatment plan. Then Sonoma Vein handles the authorization process if their insurance requires it. My favorite thing about working here is developing relationships with our patients and getting to know them on a personal and professional level. I love seeing patients throughout their treatment say how much their legs have improved and how much better their quality of life is. If you have symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, itchiness, pain, or restless legs, Sonoma Vein would love to care for you. Call Sonoma Vein 636-8346 or visit sonomavein.com.
Oh man, I can't believe this.
Hey Greg, whoa, your car, you got sideswiped.
Yeah, just what I need, another pain in the neck.
Sorry man, but hey, I know an auto body guy.
No thanks, I have an auto body guy.
No, seriously, you should go to Randy Hansen Auto Body.
Wow, Randy Hansen is my auto body guy.
Oh, that's awesome. I took my car there after my accident last year, and the front office people were great. I had no problem getting an appointment, the prices were super competitive, I got a free loaner car, and they did quality work, and they even dealt with the insurance company.
Time to call Randy Hansen Auto Body.
If your car's been in an accident, trust Randy Hansen Auto Body to fix it right and deal with the insurance company. After your vehicle is fixed, Randy Hansen Auto Body will even have it cleaned, sanitized, and detailed at no extra charge. In business for over 34 years, same location, same owners. Randy Hansen Auto Body, 2080 Llano Road in Santa Rosa, and online at randyhansenautobody.com.
Traveling can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. Next time you're planning a trip, fly out of the Charles M. Scholes Sonoma County Airport. With quick and easy check-in, on-site parking, and direct flights to 11 destinations, flying out of STS is the perfect way to start your journey. And with its convenient location, your trip starts sooner at STS. Grab a bite to eat, a glass of wine, and enjoy the beautiful new terminal.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a wet and cloudy overnight later this afternoon, we can look to around a half an inch of rain with daytime highs in the mid to high 50s. In the evening, cloudy skies and up to another half an inch of rain should leave us with overnight lows in the mid 40s. Looking ahead, thunderstorms are expected to return sometime tomorrow. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, celebrating our 38th year on the air, and delighted that I ran across this cookbook. As you know, and many of you know, the spring is the time when a lot of cookbooks are released, and we, of course, receive a lot and have over the years. And a colleague of mine said, "Have you seen this cookbook, Steve? Hello Home Cooking, Doable Dishes for Every Day." And I had to admit, no, I have not. He said, "Get yourself a copy. This is a real sleeper of a cookbook." And I got myself a copy, and I agree. It's one of the best cookbooks I've seen this year. The chef author is with me this morning, Ham L. Whaley. Good morning, Ham.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, would you please clarify the pronunciation of your last name?
Yeah, of course. It's L. Whaley.
Whaley. I've heard L. Yeah. Wally, and I've heard L. Whaley.
Yeah, it's It's kind of like whatever your mood you're feeling that day. It's a different pronunciation. I've heard so many different variations on the last name that El Whaley works for me.
Well, good. The book is called Hello Home Cooking: Doable Dishes for Every Day. You have a fascinating parental lineage. Describe how your DNA got mixed up.
So my mom's Bolivian and my dad's Egyptian. They both went to Howard University in D.C., which is where they met, and they decided to up and leave and move to Doha, Qatar, which is where they had me and my sister, and it's where I grew up until I was 19 years old, and then I moved stateside.
And then you started your culinary career shortly after arriving.
I did. When I first moved here, I knew that I wanted to get into the culinary world. That was my intention. That's what I wanted to do. That was my passion. But I needed to get what they call a quote unquote real degree. So I did some business management studying, which is what I got my degree in before I appeased my dad and then finally got a chance to go to the CIA. But I managed to sneak in some cooking when I first moved here because I joined AmeriCorps, and then I chose to be stationed at a soup kitchen. So I still managed to get some cooking in my early days.
So you ended up working at a lot of different, very good, high-end restaurants for years. And what happened? What is it? I know your wife is also a very gifted cook, too. Did you both reach a point where you said, I just don't want to do restaurant work anymore?
Well, the pandemic is what happened. Oh. I was in restaurants all the way up until then. And then so my wife and I opened a restaurant called Hail Mary in Brooklyn. And that was open for around a year before it closed. And then after that, I was looking for job security. So I was the executive corporate chef of a pretty large group. They had 14 restaurants in New York City. So in my mind, I was indestructible. I had this job that would always be there, and I had that job security I was looking for until the pandemic came, and then that kind of shut all of them down, and then I got laid off, and then I found myself in that situation of like, what now? What do I do? So then Sola had already made that transition into food media, and she was very, very successful at it, so I kind of followed in her footsteps and followed the path that she laid down, and kind of did that for a while. And now I am also back into restaurants. I've opened a restaurant with some partners in Fort Greene called Strange Delight, which is a New Orleans-inspired oyster bar.
Wow, beautiful.
So I'm doing it all now.
Can't get it out of your blood.
I cannot.
So you talk very eloquently about the struggles for transitioning from a restaurant chef to a real home cook and struggling to write a book that truly addresses the limitations that home cooks experience.
Yes, I think that there's different categories of cookbooks. You've got the really beautiful coffee table restaurant cookbooks that no one will ever cook out of, but they have beautiful photos and recipes that you could dream about using ingredients that you have to source from the smallest island in Japan that will take 2 weeks to get to you. And then you've got this other wave of cookbooks where it is clearly geared towards the home cook, and it's a lot of them cycle through like these American classics. Like you've got a lot of chicken parm, a lot of meatloaf, and a lot of things like that. And I knew that I wanted to write a book that people actually could cook out of, that wouldn't feel intimidated by, that they would be able to open up, flip through, and find something that they could cook for any time of day, any time of year. It could be a holiday, it could be breakfast, it could be a snack, it could be just a quick weeknight dinner. I knew that's the kind of book I wanted to write, but there's a lot of experience both from the restaurant and my upbringing that I think could offer a new perspective on the easy, doable weeknight dinner. And that's what I wanted to do. Something exciting, something new, but also something familiar, nostalgic, and doable.
Well, our listeners can hear what a natural, eloquent, and passionate communicator you are. I also checked out some of your YouTube videos, and you're so easy to follow and very thoughtful about how you teach.
Oh, thank you. That's a my first job was as an ELS teacher back in Qatar. So it's been and like honestly, as a chef in a restaurant, you are just a teacher because it's not about how well you can cook. It's about how well you can have other people execute your vision. So you have to have you're trying to have this large team of people who speak different languages, who have different levels of experience, who to really come together and execute what your vision is. So it's like it's a natural transition to writing cookbooks for a home cook.
And you write that these favorite recipes are runs for when you really need the incomparable comfort of a home-cooked meal. And I like that where you're starting from. That's the basis of this. Would you describe the moment when you found your mom's tattered notebook?
Yes. Yeah, so my when I first moved to the United States, my mom came to visit me that summer. I had been here for like 4 to 5 months, and obviously I'd missed her, and she came to visit me. And when she arrived, she was quite sick, and we ended up going to the emergency room, and then she got admitted into the hospital, and then she died quite suddenly a couple of weeks later. So that was like a really big shock, and I went through a lot of grief through that. And there's not a lot that I have from our home back in Doha, just because my dad and sister moved back quite quickly after that, or moved to the United States quickly after that. And we didn't really have a chance to do the whole like packing, let's take the most important things and bring it back with us. But I knew there's one thing that I wanted, and it was my mom's Madonna notebook. It was Madonna, the singer, not the religious figure, just to be clear. It's bleach blonde Madonna in red lingerie singing into a microphone. It's like an image that's imprinted in my brain because I've seen her flip through that book so many times growing up. And it's where she wrote her favorite recipes, like recipes that she got from her community, recipes that she got from newspaper clippings, all these recipes that we grew up eating. And I knew that I wanted that. So my I made sure that they brought that back with them, and I got it. And for the longest time, I couldn't look through it. I couldn't cook out of it. I couldn't open it just because I was just going through my grieving process still. But just having it with me, what was enough, was comforting enough. So I took it from apartment to apartment, and then the pandemic hit, and then I was just desperately in need of some comfort, something familiar, something nostalgic. So that was the first time I actually opened the book and started cooking out of it. And then the first thing I made were her cheese empanadas, which is something she would make for us in Doha when she was feeling homesick and she was in need of comfort and nostalgia and wanted to connect us to her family back home. And that, when I made that, and like I kind of got that ratatouille moment, and it took me back to our kitchen, a basket of warm empanadas when I was a kid, and it really clicked then. It made me realize that just how powerful home cooking can be, how powerful cooking things that mean something to you can be, not just for yourself, but to other people. When I shared those empanadas with Sola, she was equally moved by it, because I at that point I hadn't really cooked a lot of the things that I grew up eating at home. So it felt like we had deepened our connection just by me cooking things that I grew up eating as well. So it really made me realize just how special and powerful home cooking could be. And that was kind of the catalyst for me to start developing more recipes like that, in that vein, to cook more recipes out of her notebook, and ultimately share that with everyone.
Well, it leaps off the page, and the book is just filled with a type of passion and joy. And that's the word that I think initially hit me when I opened the book. Absolute joy. The cover really sucked me in, also the crispy pork belly with the yucca. Oh, man, I turned to that recipe on page 220 right away. And that's going to be on the Garner rotation. Our guest, not in the studio, but where are you talking to us from? From New York or where?
Yeah, I'm actually I'm calling you from my restaurant in Brooklyn, in Fort Greene. The Chefin doesn't stop, even if you write a book. So I'm right now locked in the office having a quick chat. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad that you got the joy out of it, because that was something I really wanted to leap off the page. I wanted to, because there's a lot of interesting kind of sad topics. There's a lot of, it's a lot of like autobiographical stuff in there. And I wanted it to really come off as something joyful and happy and something that you could laugh while reading. That was my intention. I wanted people to just feel a lot of joy, not just making the recipes, but reading through the book. Cause it's a book that I hope people read through and don't just flip through the recipes.
Now, you acknowledged it in the book. The grieving was short-lived in the book, but then we're on to the celebrating, the home cooking
exactly.
part. Our guest is this morning is L. Wally. That's his last name, E-L-W-A-Y-L-L-Y. His first name, nickname, Ham. And the book is called Hello, Home Cooking, Doable Dishes for Every Day. We'll be back, and we're going to dive into the book right after these messages. I'm Steve Garner. In the KSRO kitchen this morning.
Hey, what's up? It's your old friend Dirt, the guy who makes your car look so dusty and dull. Do me a favor. Please steer clear of the Three Love car washes in Santa Rosa and the new location in Rohnert Park at 6258 Redwood Drive north of the expressway. With their next level washing technology, free vacuums, and convenient unlimited wash packages, it's obvious Love Car Wash has a problem with me. Covering your ride in dusty filth is a tough job, and a visit to Love Car Wash not only erases all my hard work, but with their cutting-edge protectants like Graphene and Ceramic Extreme, come on, how am I going to do my job?
Check out Love Car Wash monthly packages. Right now, get the first month for 50% off. More info at luvcarwash.com.
The name is Love, so where's the love for Dirt Love Car Wash? Where's the love?
Hi, I'm Dr. Stanley Jacobs of the Jacobs Center for Cosmetic Surgery in Healdsburg, and I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Cusano.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cusano, craniofacial and aesthetic plastic surgeon with extensive experience in aesthetic and reconstructive surgery of the face, as well as aesthetic surgery of the breast and body.
Dr. Cusano will be taking over here at the Jacobs Center in 2026. He is fellowship trained in three different disciplines, including craniofacial plastic surgery from the world-renowned Johns Hopkins Hospital. We're excited to welcome Dr. Cusano as he brings the latest techniques and procedures to us in Sonoma County.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs. And if you've been thinking about an aesthetic procedure, I invite you to give me a call at the Jacobs Center or reach out online at thejacobscenter.com. I'm looking forward to meeting new patients and sharing in your personal journey to becoming your best self, both inside and out.
For more information about procedures offered by the Jacobs Center, visit thejacobscenter.com. That's thejacobscenter.com.
Hi, Jody Cohen from Sonoma Cutlery, inviting you to stop fighting your food. Get your knives professionally sharpened at our new location across from SRJC. Drop off your knives and pick them up a few days later, or call ahead for a VIP appointment to get your sharpening done while you wait. Scissors and pruning shears too. We can also personalize your knives with custom engraving. Sonoma Cutlery across the street from SRJC. Sharpening details and more at sonomacutlery.com.
At Audion Hearing, our mission is simple, to make better hearing affordable for everyone. We're proud to offer high-quality, rechargeable hearing aids starting at just $98. Clear, comfortable, and ready to use right out of the box. And here's a study worth hearing. Research shows that wearing hearing aids can reduce your risk of dementia by up to 61%. Join over 1 million happy customers and hear the difference today by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. And with me this morning is a chef and author. His name is Ham L. Whaley, E-L-W-A-Y-L-L-Y. His new book just out called Hello, Home Cooking, Doable Dishes for Every Day. There's so many recipes that I've highlighted, Ham, in the book. So I want to just call out a few of them and have your comments, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Had you only written a breakfast book, it would have been enough because the treatise on eggs is fabulous. Every egg dish you possibly want to do, and technique is very important, and you really emphasize if you're having trouble, turn down the heat.
Yeah, that's in kitchens especially, that's a big test of how experienced a cook is just how well they manage their heat. Because a lot of people just like to blast their stove. And, you don't really ever want to blast your heat that much unless you're just boiling water. It's all about temperature management. You want to make sure that you're cooking something as delicate as an egg with the proper heat. And that's a big focus of that egg chapter. I want people to get comfortable with playing around with their flame. Like, people forget that, you know, you can adjust your flame as you're cooking. If it feels a little bit too warm, bump it down. If it feels a little bit, if it's not really bubbling the way you want it to, you can turn it up. It's all about being comfortable with adjusting your stove, learning your stove, learning your pans, because these are your tools. So you want to become really, really accustomed to them.
I had to laugh, Ham, because our previous guest to you this morning was Sam Silverman, who founded the Bagel Fest East in New York City.
And, oh, okay.
And now, as of this weekend, is doing Bagel Fest West. And I saw your recipe here in the breakfast section called Everything Pita. Yes, it's better than a bagel. Well, tell us about that recipe.
Well, that was a recipe that actually, a version of that I used to make as a kid. So growing up in Doha, bagels weren't super easily accessible. And the only things that were, like, you could find a frozen bagel that really wasn't the best. And they were quite expensive because they were imported. So it's not something we had often. But one of my favorite shows growing up was Seinfeld. And there's like multiple episodes where bagels play a big part. So I wanted to feel like a New Yorker. Like, I always wanted to live in New York. Seinfeld was a big part of that. So I would take pita, which is something we always had lying around at home. I'd punch a circle out of it and then treat it as a bagel, like walk around, pretend it was a bagel, had my cup of tea, pretend like I was saying hi to my dry cleaners. So that evolved into the bagel recipe, or the pita recipe, that's in the book now. And it's I make an everything bagel seasoning, which is, in my opinion, the only bagel anyone should ever get. The everything bagel is undefeated in the world of bagels. And then you brush a little bit of egg white on top of a pita and completely crust it in that everything seasoning. So you get this amazing ratio of seasoning to bread, and then you toast that until it sets, and then you can just butter it. You can fill it with scallion cream cheese and lox. You can really do anything with it that you can do to a bagel. And something about the ratio of filling to topping to bread is just perfect to me. It doesn't feel too heavy. It's a really fun exercise in ratio management. And I
it's great. Another wonderful pita inspired recipe in that chapter is your cinnamon pita crunch cereal, which is a great riff on the Captain Crunch.
Yes. Growing up, like, my mom had interesting food rules. So we weren't allowed to have, like, the sugary fun cereals during the school year. We could only have that in the summertime. I don't know why. I didn't make these rules. But it was cornflakes during the year and then Cinnamon Toast Crunch in the summertime. So I had a workaround for that, where I would cut little pita, toast it in the oven, and then toss it in cinnamon sugar, and then eat that as Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I've since you know, updated that recipe with some interesting additions, like some brown sugar and a little bit of butter, to make a pseudo caramel that you double bake the pita in, and it gives it this really nice deep toffee flavor, impossibly crunchy, and then you toss that in cinnamon. That is the recipe that when I make, people go nuts. Like, it's the recipe I tell people that they should make first, because it's pretty easy to put together. You can keep it in a Ziploc bag in your freezer and it lasts forever. And it is just so impactful. When I did a dinner at the restaurant promoting the book, and then I made a large batch of Cinnamon Pita Crunch to give everyone to take home for free at the end of the meal. Half of it got eaten by the staff alone. I had to hide it in the office because there would not have been enough to give away.
It is
dangerously addictive.
And if you want to elevate your oatmeal, I suggest the overnight oats with rose water is optional. Cherries, dried cherries, and candied pistachios, a beautiful riff. And the key, you say, is toasting the oats.
Exactly. Like, toasting the oats just also deepens the flavor and just adds another layer of nuttiness that you don't find in oatmeal. Like it, and it doesn't take that long. It's another little extra step, but it makes all of the difference. And what's fantastic about it is that you can just toast all of your oatmeal that you have and then just keep it in your freezer toasted and ready to go, because it doesn't matter if you're making oatmeal or oatmeal cookies or whatever you may be doing with your oatmeal. Toasting your oatmeal will make it a better end product.
Lots of great tips in the dips and snacks area, even using an ice cube to fluff up your, tahini?
Your
hummus. That's wild. Yeah. That's things you stumble on.
Yeah, that's a very classic Middle Eastern technique where you just throw a little ice cube to help the dip retain air as it cools and whips up. So that's it's a really, really fun technique that makes a big difference when you're making it at home.
Yeah, every recipe has these type of really tips I've never seen in cookbook before. In the vegetable section, I'm going to remember this mantra: reveal, don't conceal. I think that's really profound, because so many vegetables are layered with sauces and all kinds of over season. Let them stand on their own if they're great vegetables. And I love this idea about each vegetable has its season, so to speak. Kale had its moment. You're right. Brussels sprouts with bacon, cauliflower, roasted whole. Cabbage is the current champion. And then he says, I'm begging you to give cauliflower more time in the sun. And you write this recipe that I'm dying to try called caramelized cauliflower puree. Talk about it for a moment.
So cauliflower is so versatile. It's one of my favorite vegetables. It's super affordable. You can find it everywhere. It's kind of immune to seasonality. So you can find it in the dead of winter. You can find it in the summertime. And it can do so many things. Like you can roast it whole, you can just blanch it and cover it with like a cheesy sauce and then bake it. Like there's so many things you can do with it. But I feel like cauliflower is at its best when you roast it with a lot of color and like you get that really, really deep caramelized color. It just takes it to a whole other level. It's like butterscotchy and really, really deep. So I like cooking cauliflower off until it gets really, really deeply caramelized, and then pureeing it into almost like a mashed potato consistency. And you get this beautiful, luscious, creamy puree that goes great with fish or chicken or really meat, or you can just have a bowl of it on its own. And that's just to brighten that up. I like to top it with like some lemon zest and parsley and capers, and just that magical combination of Mediterranean flavors all together. It's really something special.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Chef Ham Elwayly, Elwayly. It's a cookbook you really should put on your radar. It's called Hello Home Cooking, Doable Dishes for Every Day. A few other vegetable dishes caught my eye, Ham, and that's one is the charred broccoli with nutritional yeast dressing. Not enough people know about the versatility of nutritional yeast.
Nutritional yeast is amazing. Like it's in the name. It's very, very nutritious, but it adds this deep layer of umami or savoriness to whatever you add it to. Like it's amazing on top of popcorn. We go through so much nutritional yeast at home. You have no idea. And 50% of it goes on top of popcorn just because it's like the perfect, perfect seasoning. When you blend it up really fine, it sticks to the popcorn really well. And it tastes cheesy. It tastes like just like you're getting one of those white cheddar popcorn, and it's so good for you. So I like using that as a base for a lot of dressings instead of parm or anything else that also gives you that big savory note. So I wanted to make almost like a pseudo vegan Caesar, and then that's what I coat the broccoli in and then top it with some breadcrumbs. It's a very, very simple but very impactful salad. And we actually do a version of it at the restaurant. It's obviously a little more restaurant-y, but it's one of our biggest sellers, and it's something that I don't think we can ever take off the menu.
Fabulous. The two mushroom recipes are just dynamite. The warm button mushrooms and radishes, and you write, when cooked properly, button mushrooms rival any fancy mushrooms. Thank you for giving some button mushrooms some love. It's long overlooked, and they're dissed a lot of times. When people say shiitake, oyster, etc., remember the button mushroom. And you include one and only microwave recipe in the entire book. And it's something I'd never would think to do. Steamed shiitakes with ginger, garlic, scallion sauce. Talk about that.
There's in Chinese cuisine, there is a lot of respect given to steaming. Like, there's a lot of very delicious recipes that they have with steaming. And I feel like steaming as a technique is quite overlooked. And I think there are a lot of textures that you can only get with steaming. And I feel like a steamed shiitake mushroom, it gets really, really juicy and moist and maintains this very satisfying chew while being tender. And more importantly, it acts as a sponge for really any kind of flavor you wanna put in it. So this steamed shiitake with this intense ginger garlic scallion sauce, it's a fantastic, like, it can be a side. You can chop it up and pop it on top of some rice as a condiment. It's so versatile and it's so, so easy and quick to make. Like, you can go from shiitake mushroom to shiitake mushroom on your rice in like 10 minutes with the use of the microwave. It's like, it's a lot of people also kind of poo-poo on the microwave, but it's a tool. Like, there are things that you can use it for that it's very, very good at, like steaming vegetables in general. I think it is a great tool for that, because there are a lot of times, I'll be honest, like, I don't feel like getting a pot of water boiling. Like, I don't want to get my steamer out of the shed. I don't want to do these things. So taking some vegetables, putting it in a Tupperware container, splashing it with a little bit of water, and then just microwaving it in bursts until it's steamed exactly how you like it. That is a great way to use your microwave, and it's gonna maintain a lot of nutrients. It's just another tool that you can use.
Just
and
a quickie, the
I
rice,
feel like it's overlooked.
The rice grains and pasta. I just want to mention, if people are into gnocchi, you should try this Parisian gnocchi with brown butter and crispy sage. You write, finally, a gnocchi that is actually light as a pillow. A lot of bad gnocchi out there. And then heading into dessert, just one that, boy, you write this. This recipe is the biggest payoff in the entire book. Date fudge?
Date fudge. And it's like, I grew up eating this date fudge at the end of Ramadan and during Eid, where they cooked out flour and ghee and then mixed it with rose water and some spices and nuts, and then kneaded it together into this fudge-like texture. So I wanted to bring that back, but I wanted to turn it into cookie dough. So I toast flour, make brown butter, add a bunch of vanilla. You can fold in some chocolate chips, some nuts, whatever you'd like. And there is no added sugar. You get all the sweetness you need from the dates. And then between the dates and the toasted flour and the brown butter, you get these notes of caramel, and it tastes so much like raw cookie dough. I love raw cookie dough. I feel like a lot of people do as well. But this is raw cookie dough that you actually don't need to feel bad about eating an entire log of, because it's just dates and some seasoning.
Ham, this has been a fabulous 30 minutes. I highly recommend people check out Hello Home Cooking, doable dishes for every day. We've just scratched the surface of this book. Ham L. Whaley is the author. ELWAYLLY. It's been a joy talking with you. Thank you so much for spending time with me this morning.
Thank you so much for chatting. This was great. I had a great time.
Okay, Ham and Whaley, look for the book. It's out now, and honestly, it's something you should definitely consider adding to your cookbook library. Back after this.
Centerline 33 brings pickleball and complete wellness together in Sonoma County with brand new indoor and outdoor courts, a full fitness center, cold plunge, red light therapy, and an elegant welcoming environment. It's a place to stay active and socialize. From leagues, lessons, and open play to private event bookings, team building outings, and employee appreciation events, Centerline 33 is designed for connection. Rain or shine, pickleball always happens here.
This is Sonoma County's News Talk. K245DJ Petaluma, K278CD, KSRO Santa Rosa.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Siever.